for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, just like Trippendicular, you know, it's 1983's Valley Girl. Hillary is joining us from her, I'm not sure, is it cold there now too?
It is pouring nasty, gnarly rain. And as soon as we are done with this, I have to go out in it. So I have my funeral attire on and I just look like Wednesday Addams today. And I don't want to go and I'm dreading it.
Oh my God. Okay. Hey. All right.
Yeah. So
it's gnarly. You are. Yeah.
It's grody to the max.
That is so wild. Okay. So now, all right. I have to know this. What is your background with Valley Girl? How old were you when you first watched this movie?
So the first time I watched Valley Girl, I was probably like a preteen-esque. Mm-hmm. You know, I was obsessed with like the John Hughes, you know, the right. Ferris Bueller's and the 16 Candles and loved those. Mm-hmm. You know, understand that they could be viewed as problematic today, but at the time, absolutely, you yep. know.
Not a black person to be seen.
Not a black person to be seen, which was my reality in middle school. Like, that was my life. Sorry. And yeah, just, and I can kind of remember like going to Blockbuster and Valley Girl was in there. Mm-hmm. So I got Valley Girl thinking Valley Girl was going to be like John Hughes.
Oh shit. Okay.
And, yeah. And I was just like, I don't get it. Oh. And then I watched it later, hated it. Then I tried it. In my like late 20s, early 30s, and still went, this movie is not for me. And again, tried it again last night. This is not my movie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't relate to there is one girl that I relate to in this movie, and she's dry fucked in a bathroom and left.
Oh, you talking about Samantha?
I'm Samantha. And okay. It does, like, yeah, I... That like that is the only person I have an emotional connection with, and nothing good happens for Samantha.
That's interesting you say that, because watching it, so first time I saw this movie I was 13, and I loved it immediately. I bought the VHS copy of it. It was blue, and brought all my friends over to watch it. They loved it, and really just. Yeah, like I like really loved it. But I think the thing that really kind of drew me in was the soundtrack. And the soundtrack at that time, unavailable. You couldn't find it anywhere. The LP copy of it was like thousands upon thousands of dollars. Collectors would trade it. It was a big deal. It only had 7 songs on it too. So it was like,
oh wow.
It was, I mean, people were, because the pressing of the record album was so limited that it was like, you know, finding gold at that point. So when the soundtrack was re-released in 96-97-ish, fact checker Frankie, you know the drill, I immediately bought the soundtrack. Then they came out with a part 2 of the soundtrack. I bought that soundtrack. You know, the connection that I have to this movie, I've realized this last night, the connection I have to this movie is not the storyline. The connection I have to this movie is the music and Los Angeles in the 80s. Those are two things that drew me in and kept me there.
The soundtrack is amazing.
I don't like 90% of the characters in this film.
Yeah, I don't root for anyone. I can't relate to anyone. Soundtrack amazing, that like even the fashion that I can usually like get behind and fall in love with, like
it was pastel.
Yeah, it was too pastel, a whole lot of skort action and,
oh, a lot of skorts. Okay, so you did notice that. Is that a skort? And
yeah,
producers, they're like, you can make whatever movie you want, we need to see breasts 4 times in this film. And she said okay. She goes, Do you care how I do it? And they were like, no, we just need to see breasts 4 times in this movie. And it got to a point where when they were shooting, the producers would show up on set and pass her a note, and she'd open the note and it would say more tits. And she would just take the note and fucking put it back in her pocket because she was like, Jesus Christ. So this is I think the thing that really separates this from John Hughes movies in big time is the amount of sexuality in this film, as well as the amount of nudity in this film.
Soundtrack absolutely
Yeah.
great. And yeah, I mean, there were just, as I was watching it again last night, I was just like, I don't like Julie and I don't want her to win. I just don't want her to win. And you know, she does because it's the 80s, but.
But I kind of wanted to just punch Stacy so hard in the face. Like,
Yeah, no,
really
so, yeah.
hard. Stacy is probably my least favorite female character in an 80s film of all time. Like,
Even more than Meg?
80s, sorry,
Yeah.
80s teen comedy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
Okay.
no. 80s
All
teen
right.
comedy. Because, you know, you got the different kind of like bitchy characters in John Hughes movies, right? But like, yeah, this was okay. So we open with a panoramic view of Los Angeles. You know, the way that Los Angeles is, anybody that's ever lived there, myself included, would tell you that Los Angeles is a bunch of little towns in one city
Yeah.
because Hollywood is different than the Valley. Hollywood's over here and the Valley's over here. We meet Deborah Foreman's character, Julie. Deborah Foreman, famous for Waxwork, My Chauffeur, and of course, April Fool's Day, which we have done on the show.
Yes.
Yep, she's cool. And we go to not Sherman Oaks Galleria, as a lot of people have mistaken. This is not the mall that is featured in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. This is actually the Del Amo Fashion Center, which was in the Valley and actually is still there. That's so kind of cool.
That
And
is cool, actually.
yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And we kind of get a group of girls talking about blowjobs, you know? Okay. You can tell during a good portion of this film that this was written by men. Did you I don't know, were you like a big blowjob person?
Yeah, in high school, I was sucking all the dick. FYI, my husband is 6 inches away from me. No, I wasn't. Yeah, no.
No.
In high school, I definitely wasn't talking really about like blowjobs or really sex. I also wasn't like, rating dudes of just, how hot they were.
Yeah. So it's basically a bunch of chicks. They're sitting around the table at a food court, you know, and talking about boys. And then all of a sudden, you know, we hear Julie kind of talking about how she wants something new.
Yeah, she's
Because
over her guy.
she's been dating Michael Bowen, who plays Tommy, and all I said when I watched this movie was someone needs to pull his collar down.
Oh, the popped collar was a big
Oh,
thing in the 80s.
it
Yep, there's
really
lots of
was.
popped collars. Yeah.
I
Just
was
ever
like,
since I can
oh.
remember, I've been popping my collar.
Like, I just wanted to pull it down. So she breaks up with Tommy. All the girls go to the beach at the Pacific Palisades. And at the beach, yeah, they're just sitting there rating dudes, just like that guy's this, that guy looks too hairy, that guy's whatever. And it turns out that her friend Susie, played by Michelle Mayrink, who was in Real Genius, The Joy of Sex, as well as Revenge of the Nerds, she is having a party that night at her stepmom and dad's house. And
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
we will get there. When a guy overhears that they're having a party and decides that he's going to grab his other friend and crash it, and that is Fred, and played by Cameron Dye, friend of the show, and Randy, played by Nick Cage. He's not just not my guy. I will to put it.
Oh, he's my guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
So,
I do think Nick Cage is batshit crazy, but I love him in almost everything that he's in. Do I get like any, would Nick Cage walking out of the beach and toweling off get me and my girls all in a flutter of like,
And
he's so hot?
his
No.
triangle of chest hair.
Right. Yeah. He's got a Valentine of chest hair in the middle of his chest. And all of her friends think that he's like so hot. And okay.
So Fred tells Randy, like, yeah, there's a party. It's at 23727 Sierra Vista, which, by the way, is still standing. I love the fact that, like, I did a little bit of research into the filming locations, and unfortunately, about 85% of them are gone.
Oh.
But the house where the party is, and the house where Skip decides to fuck Susie and not Susie's mom, we'll get to that in a second,
I've
Alex.
seen the girls, man. You're gonna love it.
Like,
You're gonna want to go.
I'm not in the mood to go to the valley, but they go to the valley anyway. And when they're getting ready for the party, the girls, it's, Stacy, who could best be described as Julie's cunty friend.
Yeah,
And
Stacy sucks.
it, like, here's what's interesting about this, because I did a lot of deep diving on this. Like, I watched behind the scenes, I watched documentaries and stuff. And the general consensus of the people who have been in this film was that everybody was a close-knit group of friends. Don't buy that for a second. And that
Friends is a stretch, but okay.
and that Stacy really, like, cared about Julie and everything. And I was so we are perhaps in the minority here with just thinking that this group of friends is just like they really have no business hanging out with one.
No, this seems like the friendships of like we grew up together and we just have to stay friends because like
We grew up together.
we've grown up together. I can see the Stacy wants what's best for Julie, so long as it aligns with what Stacy wants for Julie.
Yeah,
The life that I
Stacy.
have planned out for you as my friend in my life looks this way. And when you are doing something else, it is changing my reality, and that is not good for me.
Okay, I
So
understand
I,
that.
and especially as like a teenager of just we're about to be adults and this is what is expected of us, and
Okay.
Stacy definitely needs to do what is expected of me. Like she has the parents who are like, you know, I'm gonna be in trouble if I'm not home by one. Like, whereas Julie doesn't have those parents. You
Yeah.
know, so and yeah, no, Stacy, her identity is attached to Julie, and that we are going on this plane together. And when you are doing something else, then who am I?
Also,
Now,
apparently, Stacy, as I've learned from the behind the scenes, had a crush on Tommy. Couldn't have Tommy, so she wanted Julie to
yeah,
have
no,
Tommy.
everybody was like trying to fuck Tommy, and I went, I don't get like, I get for like. Being in high school, him being seen as like the attractive guy of the school because everybody else that they said was oh so turbendicular, I was like, gross.
My favorite two characters in this movie, to be honest with you, are actually, I mean, I like Fred because I like suspenders and
Yeah,
punk
no,
guys.
Fred was great.
Fred's adorable. But I love Julie's parents. Julie's parents are fucking hilarious. We got Colleen Camp from Clue, and we have Frederick Forrest, who was in The Rose with Bette Midler, and he looks exactly like Sonny Bono.
Yes, he does.
Like, it's wild how much he looks like Sonny Bono. They run a health food store. And but they're very hippie. They're
Yeah,
very
very
like,
hippie, age of Aquarius. We let Julie do whatever she wants. You know, she needs room to grow and it's okay. You know, like I
just
did love
let's hear
Dad.
from you. Let's just hear from you by next Tuesday,
Right.
which I totally dug. And then we get to the party and there's this weird subplot where Julie is trying to score with this guy, Brad, who I swear to God, he is wearing the boss of all windbreakers.
Yeah.
Like, final boss windbreaker.
Final boss windbreaker. Yep.
And he just doesn't give a shit. Like,
No, he is not interested in her at all.
I think he's more interested in the group of
Men.
the group of guys
Yeah.
that are hanging out around each other. Hey,
Yeah. Yeah.
whatever.
No. Yeah. No. Brad is gay, and that's again fine, obviously, if this is your first time listening to the show. Nobody is anti-gay here at all, but yeah, no, Brad is not
Absolutely.
interested in Julie. And you know, Tommy sees her make a play for Brad and is just like, just come on back. Like,
Yeah,
enough with the theatrics. You know you're gonna be with
anytime,
me.
right? Anytime you want to come back, you just let me know, you know. So, in the grand scheme of people doing shitty things in this film, this is the start. Tommy corners Lauren while she's waiting for the bathroom and lures her into one of the adjacent bedrooms to make out. And
Yeah, is this consensual? Like, not really, but also, I'm not comfortable saying it's like an assault, but this,
right,
he is.
it's coercion,
Yeah,
you know.
coercion is not consent. Consent's
Right.
the bare minimal, and what you
Yeah.
want is enthusiasm, and she has
Absolutely.
no
No
enthusiasm.
enthusiasm. Absolutely not. He's drunk and he's making out with her, and she says, "Is this gonna mean we're going together?" And he's like, "What?" And she's like, "Is this gonna mean we're going together?" And he says, "No, I think it means you're a pretty rotten friend."
Yep, for fucking your friend's boyfriend.
When
Or
he's in a bad
hooking up
way,
with, yeah.
when he's in a bad
So,
way,
how
right?
about you don't say anything and I
And
don't
I
say
won't
anything?
say anything. And then he pops his collar and walks out. And that's just, you like, this is gonna be kind of like a really good plot point later on. Like, this is gonna be a bit, and guess what, guys? It does, you know,
Yeah,
take
nobody
care.
finds out about it.
No,
Nobody
nobody
talks
finds.
about it. Lauren is a shitty friend, Tommy's a shitty boyfriend. Got
Yeah,
it.
absolutely. We also get this really cool like scene where they're eating sushi, and it almost it's
Who has
that
sushi at a high school party? And why are we slathering peanut butter on top of the fucking sushi?
yeah, the
That
peanut sauce is weird. It's
it
weird.
is
Yeah.
Jif creamy peanut butter. This is not a Thai peanut curry. This is Jif fucking peanut butter that he is slathering all over a fucking California roll. And I just went, one, who has sushi at a high school party? And two, put that fucking peanut butter down, Mr. Brent. But then we meet Mrs. Brent.
God. Okay, so oh, so much problematic. Okay, so yes, Beth is absolutely stunningly beautiful woman. I can't with
Absolutely.
how gorgeous
Yeah.
she is. In fact, I just saw her recently, about 2020, 2021, in an interview, and she's maybe aged a day. Like
Yeah.
she doesn't, and she's aged gracefully. Like that woman clearly just had good genes. And yeah, she goes out of her way to flirt openly and essentially cock block her own stepdaughter from being able to communicate with this boy, Skip, who seems very adorable and sweet. And if you listen really closely, because fucking Tubi didn't allow my subs, man. Like, I tried to put the subs on, and Tubi was like, nope, not today. So I was like,
Not
all right,
today.
no, I had to like sit there and listen. But one of the things I listened and I heard was that there's a conversation that occurs between them in the background where she says, where the stepmom says something, and then the daughter says, oh no, I never said that. And then she's like, oh no, you did. And it's like she's fucking cock blocking her. Like, she's trying to
Swat
make.
swatting.
She's twat swatting. She's
Twat
trying
swatting. Yep.
to make the stepdaughter look bad in front
Yeah.
of
Oh,
this
yeah.
guy.
She's openly flirting with Skip. And then, you know, there was a moment of just like, oh, you know, when you were talking to Rick, and the stepdaughter goes like, who is Rick?
Yes.
Yeah, and she's just like, oh, you know, you're just so busy and so, like making her look slutty, making her look easy, making her look unattractive. And it is so uncomfortable to watch. You know, newsflash, I have a 16-year-old stepdaughter. And I just went, absolutely want to drag this bitch out of the party by her fucking hair.
There's a lot of like men sort of interjecting themselves into things that maybe they shouldn't be. Like there's that scene, but then there's the scene in the health food store where they're like, I should talk to her. And that random guy who's eating a sandwich goes, maybe I should talk to her. And I'm
Maybe I
like,
should talk to her.
what
It
is
was the
happening right
beginning of
now?
mansplaining. Valley Girl is why we have mansplaining today. And
Oh,
it's
God.
terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. So, okay. So, yes, Fred and Randy decide to crash the party. And they come in, and of course, they're dressed completely different than everybody else. It's just a sea of pastels and pinks. And they are wearing like suspenders and black shirts, and they have their hair dyed. And, you know, and he, Randy starts making eyes at Julie across the room. And they're like, they're gonna end up together. And then Tommy grabs his pink t-shirt posse and they throw them out of the party.
Yeah, like
No,
physically throw them out of the party.
like physically drive out. So they throw them off. They end up driving over to Hollywood, just kind of, you know, blowing off some steam. And
Decide to turn around and come back.
Randy says, fuck it. I like this chick. She likes me. We're going. So then they return to the party. He sneaks into the bottom floor bathroom
Yep.
in the hopes that she will come in to adjust her makeup and he will, and they, and then he'll get to see her again. So he hides out in the shower. And my question, and without being too gross or controversial, is how many poops did he have to make it through sitting in that shower?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anybody in the valley or at the sushi peanut butter party was
Poops.
pooping. He
No.
did get to see some titty, and it's just like you get some titties and you get some action, and then we leave and go to the party. And I'm just like, what high school boy is that? Where it's like, yeah, let's all get fired up, ready to go. And okay, I've seen your titties, we're good to go. My dick has to be hard, unless it isn't, and it's not your scene, no judgment. But let's just now go back and eat some more sushi and dance badly.
Oh, there's a lot of shoulder leaning.
Yeah, there's a lot of shoulder leaning and a whole lot of very white people dancing, and it's not the John Hughes white people
Oh
dancing.
no, it is. This is some
This is,
serious shoulder. Just
yeah. And nobody knows the song that's playing. And I get it. You put the soundtrack like over it. So, like, how would you like really know what you were dancing to? But
right.
I do feel like the group of people should have looked at each other. And while we are dancing, one of us could have picked a beat to be on. Because it is, everybody is dancing to 16 different songs.
That is true. Yeah, no, that is very, very true. So finally, after being subjected to a penis conversation, a pair of titties, a bunch of people smoking weed, finally Julie comes in to adjust her makeup and he makes himself known. And Randy basically says, like, let's leave the party. And
And
she's
go
like,
where?
and go
Anywhere.
where? Anywhere. And what are we gonna
What are we
do?
gonna do?
I don't care.
Anything. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
care. Oh, I don't care. Oh, that is the best part of this whole movie. For
Yeah.
me, that exchange right there of just like, I want to be with you, consequences be damned. Like, I don't have a plan. I know you are the plan.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
yeah, no, that scene is fucking hot of just like, what are we gonna do? I don't care. Where are we
Yeah.
going? Anywhere you want.
Anywhere. Yes.
Yeah, that one bathroom scene like holds some fucking weight. That's good shit.
It was sexy. And then so then she says, okay, but I have to bring my friend. And he's like, cool. So meet me outside. So she goes outside, she brings Stacy. Stacy is just
Stacy don't want to be there.
she's like a Karen before Karens. Like
Yes.
she's an
She
absolute
wants to
Karen.
talk to the manager. Yep.
No, she totally wants to talk to the manager. So they come outside, and this is one of my favorite lines from the movie. Fred steps forward and says, hi, my name is Fred. I like tacos, a 71 Cabernet, and my favorite color is magenta. And I'm like, you know what? That's good. I like that. So they drive down Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset, and see, you know, all these different really big LA staples like the Rainbow and the Roxy and the Pussycat Theater. And, you know, they end up at a club called the Central, which then became the Viper Room. So that's the Viper Room. Yep.
That's interesting. That's a fun fact.
Absolutely. So, you know, they get in there, they all sit down, and of course, you know, Stacy puts like a napkin down on the chair before she's
yeah, what is on this chair?
And you know, they're all sort of trying to talk over the band playing. The band playing is the Plimsolls, and they start playing Million Miles Away. And that is also the moment where Randy kisses her and says, you know, when can I see you again? And he's like, it's how I feel. So, yeah. So there's this great scene. I love the way that this scene is framed. And there's a car in the middle where Julie and Randy are making out in the back seat. And then Fred is chasing Stacy around the car while this song plays. And he's just like, he's trying to get her to, you know, to kiss him, right? And she's just like, you are so weird.
Yeah. But she's definitely like, without like proper like context, that sounds terrible, but
oh,
she
no,
is
she
definitely
likes,
yeah,
no,
she is having
him.
A good time now, and she's into him, but she knows that she can't. But she is like, it is the very flirty, you know, like, please chase me. And he is, and you know, she is having fun, and she hates that she is having fun.
Absolutely. She hates it. She just thinks that, you know, they're these like gross, you know, Hollywood people, right? And Hollywood is not, you know, where they want to be, right? So next morning, they bring them home, and it's daylight.
Yep.
And they all end up going to get driver's ed lessons with Les Nessman from WKRP in Cincinnati. Yep, absolutely. Yep. And that's kind of when things start to get revealed. Julie reveals, like, yeah, dude, I met a guy, and he's, you know, he's trippendicular, you know, and Stacy's pissed because
it was supposed to be a secret.
It was supposed to be a secret, you know. And they're and then we see that weird subplot of Skip, who, in my opinion, because when I was watching this, I don't think Skip really wants to fuck the stepmom at all. I think he's talking in code, like when he's talking, because he's like, yeah, you know, it's no secret that I'm the one delivering the groceries. And he keeps asking about Susie. When is Susie going to get home? Right.
Yeah.
And stepmom is just like, oh no, you're totally like, we're vibing here. Like, I'm going to start quoting The Graduate. You're going to totally get it. Which, by the way, he does not.
No, he does not.
I mean, she is like the thirst trap that is Susie's mom is like the opening of a Brazzers video.
Yeah, very, you know, stepmom and me playing hide and seek.
And he looks terrified.
Yeah, no, he doesn't want to be there with her.
No.
And she's gorgeous, but into Susie.
He's into Susie, but he's just like wildly uncomfortable. And then he's just like, okay, gotta go tell her I stopped by. And then we meet, you know, the fact that like Julie actually works on the weekends. She's able to work for her parents at the health food store. This was a, you know, wheatgrass and alfalfa sprout sandwich kind of time.
Yeah.
And there's a great scene where Randy shows up and he's like, yeah, like you want to get out of here? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. And of course her father's like, you know, have a good day, sweetie.
yeah. No, it's totally fine that you leave work.
Just ditched out on your responsibilities, but
yeah,
not a
no
problem.
No worries. Yeah.
And then we get one of the first rom-com montages, because this is 83, and this kind of kicked off the montage stuff. And we get this beautiful montage of them falling in love set to Modern English's I Melt With You.
Yeah. Phenomenal song,
which is fantastic. It's a great scene. There's all these little LA landmarks. They're at these different places, and it's very romantic. And
yeah,
it's sweet. And then of course we get the group of friends talking about how like we don't even see her anymore, and it's like,
yeah
I mean, that's the thing, is when you get into a relationship, especially at that age, you know, yeah, you're on relationship island, you know.
Definitely Relationship Island, but like you do see her every day at school.
At
She's,
school.
yeah, she's just not like doing, you know, the fucking pep rally because she wants to go and see the guy who goes to a different school.
Yeah, because he goes to Hollywood High and she goes to, I guess, I don't know, Van Nuys High
Valley
School, but
High,
I
yeah.
just made that. Oh, Valley High. Thank you. So, Tommy, being the Machiavellian asshole that he is, starts planting seeds of doubt into the girls, telling her, like, you know, this guy she's with, he could really scar her for life. And they're like, oh my God, really? You know?
Yeah.
So they throw a slumber party where they talk about eating disorders, dick size, and lingerie, like you do.
Yeah, I mean that is a typical girl
Absolutely.
slumber party.
And then her friends kind of suck. Like, can we talk about
Kind of.
this scene for a second? No, they totally suck. But so we have Stacy saying, oh, you can just kiss all the bitchin' Val dudes goodbye. And like she says that. And then Lauren makes a comment about how the air in Hollywood makes the guys' dicks like tiny. And it's like, these are my friends.
These
Ooh.
are her friends, and
Right?
yeah, no, they're dogging out her new guy because they want her with Tommy, but they also want
Want
Tommy.
Tommy. Yeah. I was not a fan of this scene at all. So then we get this really cool scene where Skip is like is on his bicycle and he's just
On his
bicycling
bicycle.
in a circle, you know, kind of like getting up the courage to go and meet, you know, Susie at her house. Like he doesn't even know. He's like gonna stop by and pretend to return a book, which by the way, he just grabs off the shelf. He's like, oh, you know, I'm here to return a book of Susie's. And then he notices, and your guess is as good as mine as far as how this proceeds. But the next scene we see is just towel on the floor, underwear on the floor, clothes on the floor, and she is fucking in her mom's bed.
Yeah. Good
And
for you, Susie.
for you, Susie, for getting late. Now, Julie is officially torn between Randy and Tommy. I don't know why, but that is a
Yeah,
thing.
no, like I don't understand this sharp
Nope.
left turn.
No, I don't get this either. And she talks to her dad about this this choice that she has to make, and he gives her the most amazing advice.
Yeah, no, he is like he is a cool fucking dad that is like in touch with emotions and like isn't like, you know, Tommy can provide for you. Like none of that. It's just like you're your own person. Like, make your choices. What do you want?
What
Like,
do
that's
you
what I,
want to do?
yeah, that's.
And then he shows her a picture of what he used to dress like back in the day, which is essentially, you know, a hippie. And he says, you know, some people aren't happy unless you live and think the way that they do. And you would think at that moment where she's like, oh my God, you're right. Like, I clearly need to, you know, do what makes me happy, and what makes me happy is Randy.
Is
And
Randy?
no,
No.
she decides that she's gonna get back together with Tommy. They're at Dupar's. They're all sitting at the table. The girls are like, yeah, like he still misses you a bunch. And she's like, oh, okay. And then they leave. So clearly this was a setup.
Oh, yeah.
Because as soon as Tommy gets there, they're like, oh, hey, I got that thing I gotta do. Let's go. They leave, and Tommy sits down, puts her bracelet back on, and then he proceeds to eat her fries. Oh, what a dick.
Yeah, no, Tommy's the worst.
Tommy is absolutely the worst. So,
I don't even understand why he's in the running. I could understand, like, the do I want Randy or nobody, but Randy or Tommy? Why is Tommy even in the picture?
yeah,
And
I
this
don't
is where I
understand
hate
it.
Julie.
Right. Okay. So I get this, though. I get your hatred of Julie because of this, because Tommy is just a douchebag. Like,
Right.
Tommy is controlling.
Yeah.
Tommy is creepy. Tommy is.
Mean-spirited, rude, not doesn't have anything to offer. I can understand the like, you know, what life can I have with Randy? He's so intense. He's from like the other side of the world, whatever. You know, like does he have direction? Does he have plan? Does he have purpose? I can understand questioning that, but I don't understand why Tommy enters the picture because, like, 6 months ago, you were just like, I am bored. I hate him. I hate everything about him. And he has not had any character growth in anything.
He doesn't call her.
Nope.
Remember? They're having that conversation where he's like
Yeah.
5 days and no phone calls.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like,
And in the
yes.
80s, like, you have a landline, so you need to call me at home. It's not like I could just text you and we could just talk whenever.
Yeah. So then we get the saddest but also really good breakup scene. Like, so Randy shows up at her house and, you know, kind of, and it's just being cheeky, being, you know, being goofy with her, and she is not having any of it.
Right.
She basically says, like, you have to go, don't touch me, don't talk to me, you know, and Randy says, you know, wait a second, like, this isn't about, you know, this is your fucking friends, like,
Yeah.
and then says, fuck off.
Yep.
And then says, fuck off, like, for sure. So Randy decides to get wasted
Obviously.
and fuck his ex-girlfriend in the bathroom of the Central. And as he, I guess when he finishes having sex with poor Samantha, he walks, you know, he walks out and they're playing him and Julie's song. So now
Yep.
he's really fucked up.
Yep. And Samantha's, just drying off in the bathroom. She's trying to
Hey.
get back together with her ex because she still loves him. And, he fucks her and then leaves.
Yeah, I mean, she does have a really good line, which is, you weren't looking for me and I wasn't looking for you, but here we are, you know.
But here we are.
Yeah, so then Randy tries to pick, literally tries to pick a fight with a gang member,
Yep.
with a gang member, not a good idea in Los Angeles. And Fred, thank God, sees this and pulls him over to an alleyway and is like, guys like that will kill you. Like, what are you doing?
Don't fucking care.
You're mad because some Val chick, and I like the fact that he doesn't call her like any names. You know, like
Yeah.
Fred honestly has the most character in this film, like, as far as he doesn't talk badly like that. Like, he just goes, what, some Val chick picked some dude over you, you know?
Yeah, and you're
And
gonna get yourself killed over that. Yeah,
right.
it's not like some dumb slut, some
No,
bitch that, yeah.
I know. So Randy's just like, mine. And he says, you know, hey, like, I've got a whole plan.
I've got a whole plan to get her back.
Here's the thing. What Fred says and what Randy does are very different, okay? Because Fred basically just says, hey, grand romantic gestures, like, be romantic. Chicks like that shit, right? So you're like, okay, that's cool. Flowers, you know. Randy instead embarks on what could only be called a stalking campaign.
Yeah, which is romantic when you're interested, but when you're not is creepy and unnerving.
To the point that, like, he shows up several different places, and then the final straw is that he is camped out on her front lawn, sleeping outside her window, and Slink goes, where are the cops when you need them?
Very like Lloyd Dobler say anything.
Yeah, or but like in a totally much more stalkery
Oh
kind
yeah,
of way.
but creepier, yeah,
But creepier.
because yeah, Aeony Sky was, kind of about it, and Julie is very clear and like, I am not
Not about it.
interested, and
No.
he's just like, no, you will be though. Yeah, no, this is how you wind up in a murder documentary.
I'm gonna wear you down.
Yeah, I'm gonna kidnap you and put you in a well. With my Bichon.
Now, there's a scene where they're talking, the girls are talking, and they make an allusion to the fact that Tommy made reservations after prom to a hotel called the Valley Sheraton, and implying that tonight's the night that sex is gonna happen, basically, is
We
what that is.
deflower Julie.
Julie, what I do like is that and fact checker Frankie, you got this one. You're gonna run with this, okay? So Lauren is talking about going out with Arthur, and she says, "Yeah, we're gonna go straight to the hot tub club." And I was like, "What's a hot tub club?" I know, thanks to movies like Hollywood Hot Tubs, that these were a thing in California, specifically Southern California, where people just went and enjoyed hot tubs. Now, I don't know when they started, when they ceased to exist, when someone figured out that that is a literal cesspool of bacteria.
Yeah,
But
it sounds like a swingers club.
it does sound like that. It really does. So it doesn't really jive with the fact that the 16 and 17-year-olds that are going to the hot tub club. But I don't know. So prom night rolls around, and oh man, she's very lacy. I kind of dig her dress because she's very tiny. You know, Deborah Foreman is a very tiny, tiny girl, and she's wearing this very, like, she looks like a doily. She's got like the white lace dress on, and Tommy is wearing a pink tux, you know, and they go to prom, and Fred and Randy show up. They basically bust the prom. There's a huge food fight, which the extras that are in this scene apparently were from rival schools. So all of the fighting that's going on in the background during the food fight is real. I know, really interesting. So yeah, they crash the prom, and then Randy punches out Tommy, grabs Julie by the hand, and they proceed to go to the Valley Sheridan together.
Because
And
that was all we needed to do was to punch her boyfriend.
yeah, so that's interesting because there really is no there's no there there's no like
Closure.
there's no speech.
Nope.
There's no Julie telling off Tommy,
Nope.
or saying I choose Randy, or any of that. I think the couple that actually may have a chance is when Stacy's covered in fucking food and Fred comes up and
And
licks
well, yeah, licks it off her face.
It off her face, you know. I was like, that was sweet. Anyway, that is you've been watching Valley Girl, right? Okay, so soundtrack is the tits. Absolutely, seek it out if you do want to watch this movie. It's free on Tubi. And when I learned last night that this was written by two men, and also that it was produced by two men, and the two men who wrote it were the two men who produced it, which means it was the two men who kept sending notes that said more tits, then it colored it a bit, you know, because it was like, so you've got this sort of Romeo and Juliet story, but then you've got all these other storylines that don't really intersect. And a lot of it is just very uncomfortable. I would recommend this movie to people who just kind of, it's, you know, nostalgia bubble, right? It is.
Yeah,
It's
very nostalgia
nostalgia bubble.
bubble. Yeah, for the music, for the clothes, for Nick Cage, for Cameron Dye's role. Like, they were fantastic, but you're gonna hate everybody else, especially Beth.
Yeah, you'll hate Beth. You'll want to punch Stacy in the face. Yeah. Go into this understanding that it was a product of its time, and go into it, you know, to add to your 80s nostalgia collection, right?
80s nostalgia collection. Got some
Absolutely.
good tits, great music.
Good tits, great music. That's it. Hey, what movie do you want to do next week?
American Mary.
American Mary. Fantastic. Soska Sisters. I'm excited. I've never seen a Soska Sister movie. This will be a first time watch for me. This is like a, you know, more than a first time watch for you. So I'm very excited. And Valentine's Day is really all about love, whether it is the love you share with a partner or the love that you have for your family. And I'm going to leave this up to Hillary to continue this conversation.
So I'm not normally one that like does stuff like this. So if you've made it this far, you're a real one. But I have a sister who has always been, who has always wanted to be one of my best friends. And we have that relationship today, you know? And she has a life partner, and his name is Dwayne. And I just call it a life partner because their relationship is their relationship. And Dwayne has stage 4 cancer. And right now, his health premiums have exceeded his, like, disability check. And they are really, really struggling. And my sister is currently working 2 jobs to try to cover his health insurance, which is covering his, like, chemotherapy, and like buy groceries and pay their mortgage and keep their heat on in their house. Dee needs $24,000 to be able just to cover his health insurance premiums for the year. I've asked Aaron if it would be okay for us to put, like, the GoFundMe in the link. So if there is anybody that, you know, can help, every dollar counts. They're already up over $11,000 with, you know, donations, and that's going to get them a couple months of insurance. And my sister has finally had, like, a good night of sleep. But if anybody has $5, you know, you were thinking about, like, trying to, like, buy us a coffee because you love the show and you want to support, it is greatly appreciated. If anybody has anything that they could donate, I'm hoping that Aaron will put the GoFundMe link off the Spotify notes, and anything that you guys can give means a lot. It doesn't make sense in the world to have to choose between health insurance and keeping a roof over your head. And cancer sucks, and it's a great equalizer. So if anybody has anything that they can donate, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. From the Manic Movie Monday family, you know, nothing but love, peace, and hair grease, to bring it back to the 80s, full circle there. So thanks for letting me share.
Absolutely. And yes, we will put that in. Not only will we put that in the show notes, but it will also be on our personal page, which is Manic Movie Monday Podcast on the Instagram. So look out for that. And thanks for joining me on this problematic journey today, Hill.
Yeah. This episode is a downer.
All right. Keep it here till next week with American Mary. And as always,
stay manic.
Nope, that's not the button. Okay, hold on. Is that the button? No.
Maybe that's the button.